Weddings. What we wear to a wedding really matters. Each November, Calgary has the Wedding Expo down at the Convention Center. Brides will go and view the fashionable choices to consider for their nuptial gala. As a priest, I get to do lots and lots of weddings. And I have never, in all of the years I've been presiding at weddings, seen people just show up in their street clothes. Everyone, the bride, the groom, they all go that extra mile to dress in a particularly special way. There was a wedding I did a few years ago where the groom and his groomsmen were all wearing jeans, but they were really classy jeans with matching tan shoes, and they had these vests on, and they looked very Western. It was very intentional, and the bride similarly had on an apparel that was more in keeping with sort of a Western feel. So today I'm going to do something that's a little bit different from what I usually do in a homily. What we're going to do is, it's sort of what's called Lectio Divina, a divine reading, where we're going to enter into the text of the gospel, and we're going to think about it this way. We're going to pay attention to the wedding attire of Mary, of Jesus. Oh, and by the way, you and I were invited to come to the wedding as guests. So let's go to Cana and let's enter into this marriage banquet. As we take our seats, we are caught up in the joyful celebration. There's much laughter. And if you've ever been to the Middle East, oh my goodness, the abundance of food of various kinds. Oh, it is delicious. And then there is the rich tonality of the Hebrew modal melodies. We spy Mary, and we're so pleased to see how happy she is, because here comes Jesus and the disciples. It wasn't sure whether or not they could make it, but here they are. As the festivities continue, they swell with gaiety and delight, and we are thoroughly enjoying ourselves. We are dancing into the early hours of the morning, and oh, there's nothing we want more now than, wait a minute, there's no more wine. Oh my goodness, what are we going to do? After all, a wedding marriage feast doesn't just last for one day or 2 days, it lasts for a whole week, and here we are on day one and there's no wine left. This spells trouble. But wait, there's Our Lady talking to Jesus. We get a little bit closer and we're able to hear in on their conversation. We hear Mary say, they have no more wine. No more wine? Oh my. But we pause and we look at Our Lady. And we look at what she's wearing. We look at her attire. And she has on this beautiful blue mantle. And what strikes us about how she's dressed is how it accentuates her beautiful olive skin and her dark, long hair. It speaks of her generosity, of her beauty, of her kindness. And what strikes us is how what she is wearing is representative of her interior being. There's a warmth to Our Lady that her attire represents. And we listen in on the gentle care with which she then turns to the steward and says, do whatever he tells you. This speaks of something that is particular to John's gospel. Do you know that in John's gospel we only meet Mary twice? Here at the wedding at Cana, and the other place we'll see her is at the cross. And in both instances, we see her maternal heart. Here, she speaks to Jesus on behalf of the wedding couple, and then she speaks to the steward who represents the wedding couple on behalf of Jesus. At the cross, you remember what the Lord says to her there, woman, behold your son. And then to St. John, she says, son, behold your mother. What Mary shows us by her attire and by her very being is that throughout history, her mantle is representative of her maternal care. Indeed, centuries later, in 1531, St. Juan Diego, on the 12th of December, would open up his tilma to the Bishop of Mexico And what would be represented on the tilma? Our Lady and her mantle. We now turn our gaze to the Lord. And what strikes us is not so much what Jesus is wearing, for he's dressed in the attire of a first century Jewish male. But what we're seeing is what he's doing. Here we are at this week-long celebration, and now we have indeed experienced the miracle of water turned into 600 liters of the best wine possible. We've got wine to last the whole week long. And as we're looking into our goblet and reflecting on it, as we smell the rich aroma of the wine, as we look at its beautiful burgundy color, we wonder about what Jesus said when he responded to Mary with, "Woman, what concern is that to you and me? My hour has not yet come." What could Jesus mean about his hour and it has not yet come? Ah, yes, of course. We remember the prophet Isaiah. We remember how in the prophet Isaiah, repeatedly, he has these poetic verses that speak about the time when the Messiah comes. Ah, it will be the marriage between God and Israel. There will be the dawn of the Messianic age. And then we recall this beautiful passage, which we actually heard Alfredo speak so beautifully here at Mass, from Isaiah 62. And listen to what the Old Testament prophet says about the Messiah who will bring in the wedding banquet. "You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You will no longer be called forsaken, and your land will no longer be termed desolate." Now think about this couple. Remember, it's day one of our wedding. And if there was no wine for the rest of the week, would not they have felt forsaken? Would not they have felt a sense of desolation? And yet here, Jesus will not allow for them to be embarrassed. And so what's Jesus wearing? Well, his attire is more figurative, for he is the true bridegroom. And it's interesting that although in our English translation, it seems definitive when he says to Our Lady, "My hour has not yet come," the construction of this sentence could also be read this way, as a question. He's asking Our Lady, "Has not my hour already come?" It's as if he's consulting Mary and saying, "Is it now? Should we?" And indeed, I think this is a beautiful way to look at it, because what he's therefore asking, and she's helping to confirm, is, "Yes, son, now is the time to inaugurate the great wedding banquet, because you are the bridegroom." So we have Our Lady dressed in the beautiful maternal attire of her blue mantle. We have Jesus, the bridegroom, dressed. But wait a minute, what about us? Who are we? And here's the beautiful point that St. John wants you and me to know. We are not just there as guests at the wedding. If Jesus is the bridegroom, and if Mary is the mother of the bridegroom, what does that make us? The bride of Christ. How do we know this? Well, because of what Isaiah goes on to say in that passage from chapter 62. "But you shall be called, my delight is in her, your land shall be married, for the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married." Listen to these beautiful words. "For as a young man marries a woman, so shall your builder marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you." Aren't those beautiful words? Now get the point. In the psalm that we prayed this evening, in the last stanza, we had this line. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. This is a version called the New Revised Standard Version. In another version called the Revised Standard Version, instead of saying worship the Lord in holy splendor, it says worship the Lord in holy attire. Ah, that's it. That's us. We are to worship the Lord in holy attire. What does that attire look like? Well, it's beautiful, you know, that here at the beginning of Jesus's public ministry in John chapter 2, we have him at a wedding. And then you go to the book of Revelation. In the fourth to last chapter of the book of Revelation, we have Jesus again. And listen to what the same writer, St. John, says about Jesus in heaven. Let us rejoice and exalt and give Jesus glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. To her it has been granted to be clothed with fine linen, bright and pure. Doesn't that sound like Isaiah? Bright linen, fine and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. We, my beloved brothers and sisters, are dressed in the fine linen of those who are loved by the bridegroom, Jesus. And it's described as our righteous deeds. You see, we're not to be those who are to leave the wedding and just go back to life the way it was, nor is this wedding to last for just 1 week. We are to realize that whenever we come to Mass, we are sharing in the most special way in the marriage supper of the Lamb. St. Augustine, who lived more than 1,600 years ago, put it this way. Every celebration of the Eucharist is a celebration of marriage. The church's nuptials are celebrated. The king's son is about to marry a wife. And the king's son is himself a king. And the guests frequenting the marriage are themselves the bride. Wow. The guests frequenting the marriage, says Augustine, are themselves the bride. That's you. That's me. That is us. And that's why St. John begins by telling us that the first miracle that Jesus performs shows us that he is the bridegroom. It's my prayer that this meditative homily will help us to discover more the delight of what it means to be married to Jesus, and we will worship the Lord in holy attire, for we are a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord. We are a royal diadem in the hand of our God. And this is the message for the first Sunday of Ordinary Time.